I told this person, deport yourself from existence. I was living with my mother, who had split up with my dad, and she had a boyfriend, and the boyfriend tried to kill me. It's our natural right to keep and bear arms, you know, guns. And I don't even know if I would consider... I kind of go back and forth between what I fall under. It would break people on an individual level. We're not ready for that mentally to things to get to that point. Like, we can joke about it, and some people might think they are, but you're not. There's already so many conspiracies about this.
Yes. Like, you know, I've just seen I've been working this morning, so I just saw bridge, but I decided not to look into it, because, again, then I get, like, sucked in.
Yep.
Hello, everyone. A little reminder, this is hashtag Team No Delusion. Nothing is edited. Nothing is polished up. Everything is raw. Everything is straight imported onto the podcast because I don't want to participate in none of that Hollywood nonsense. Everything has to look perfectly. Everything has to look fake. Everything has to look a certain way. So you'll get the raw version. Hello, 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 everyone. Today at Fearless Wealth here with me, a new gun friend of mine through Twitter world, or X, Michigan Gun Guys. I love how we even came to this, like, hey, will you come to my podcast? You're like, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It kind of just happened. You probably know me from before, because before I was doing Michigan Gun Guys, well, actually, as I was doing Michigan Gun Guys, I also had my separate Twitter that got permanently yeeted. I was going by The Armed Millennial.
See?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
so...
what did you get banned for?
So, you know Taco, right? Yeah. She goes by Taco on Twitter?
Yeah.
Somebody was telling her that... they were gonna laugh when she got deported, da 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 da. And so I told this person, deport yourself from existence. And
oh, I saw the screenshot from that.
Even though they were saying a bunch of racist shit to her, Twitter didn't like that I told this person to deport themselves from existence and suspended that account.
That's a great phrase, though.
Yes, I even have a like one of those make it a quotes as that. But yeah, no. So I got suspended, and then it actually got unsuspended for like a week, and then I got mass reported again once it got unsuspended, and it hasn't been unsuspended since. And at this point, I don't think it's gonna happen. Every now and then I'll log on to it and submit an appeal, but Twitter's report support system, it's all fucking broken garbage. I mean, you saw what happened recently with what was her name? She was another 2A person, Hotel 2A.
Mm-hmm.
She got suspended for, she basically got baited by this fucking troll and got suspended and hasn't been unsuspended, and so she made a new account, and I mean Taco's made like what, 5 different accounts, and yeah, so the whole thing is just broken, so I don't expect it to come back.
Right. Well, some people have come back after years, because I do believe it's more of like a faulty system right now than it is actually like accurate banning.
Yeah, no, it seems to be like based on, I've seen people say that it's based just like on, if you get so many reports within a set amount of time, Twitter just bans you. So
Meta does the same. Just for illustration, once someone made a catfish account with my pictures, and I confronted them, and they all started reporting me. They were like in Africa, and I got banned. My real
account. Yeah. Social media is just kind of a shit show in general nowadays. Like, I have a Facebook account. I don't really use it for a whole lot. mainly because Facebook owns Oculus now, you have to tie your Facebook account to your Oculus account. And if you get your Facebook account suspended, it basically bricks your Oculus. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I don't really do a whole lot on Facebook. Like, I'll talk to friends and family, but I don't use it for anything like political or controversial like I used to back in the day when I was arguing on the frickin' Target Facebook page about them banning concealed carry and open carry and stuff. Because I've been doing this a long time. Oh, go ahead. Right.
No. Is it that, like, my biggest platform is Facebook, but you have to be real, because I teach people about money, financial systems, you know, what's coming. And I touched on politics, but it's almost impossible. So I stopped doing that. So there is one of the reasons why I started a podcast. And just for your reference, so I'm from East Europe, born in East Europe, Czech Republic, lived in the Netherlands, lived in Belgium, lived in the UK, lived in several countries, traveled the world, speak 9 languages. And prior to me, like, I've always liked America because I would visit here. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I definitely did bandwagons when I was younger, right? Whether it was feminism bandwagon, you know, guns are the problem bandwagon. And there's this weird, you know, and then I matured, by the way, right? And then I grew companies and, like, life changes. But I remember that, because one thing that annoys me nowadays is that first of all, people don't seek nuance anymore, right? People go for 128 character solutions. So, like, if this is, school shootings are happening, therefore guns are the problem. Meanwhile, we won't speak about Norway. We won't speak about Czech Republic. We won't speak about Russia, right? Because those don't fit the narrative. But what I've just recently, like, I've had Twitter for I believe a decade, but I've recently just gotten on it. And extremely enjoying actually the possibility at least to speak politically and speak Second Amendment. And it's interesting to see the big divide between the rest of the world and, unfortunately, like, I'm a big bully. So what I call the leftovers in America. So the people who are like, ooh, guns bad. Yay, country daddy, please govern me harder. And it's interesting because I mostly tend to narrow it down as it being mostly a city versus rural problem rather than a, which turns automatically into leftovers versus red-ish. But, right? The spectrum has moved.
It's more complicated than that, in my opinion. So I grew up in the city. I grew up in the Metro Detroit area, and I went to school in a big city. My graduating class was like 900 people, and it was only in the past couple years, I think like 5-ish years ago, that I moved up here. But I have always been the way I am when it comes to the Second Amendment. It was so back in middle school, I think, we had a Supreme Court ruling where it was ruled that the police have no duty to protect you. And I was like, that's concerning. And this was around the same time.
No, we need to emphasize that. Can we emphasize to all the listeners, because I have worldwide listeners, majority of this in America, but worldwide, that there was a Supreme Court ruling that said the police has no duty to protect you.
And to add on to that, that wasn't the first, and I don't think that was even the last time that they've made that ruling. So, yeah, in America, police have no duty to protect you. It's a common misconception. Basically, their job is to enforce and uphold the law. They'll save you if it's convenient, and there are some that, you know, actually take more of like a protect and serve to the community type of mentality, but they're not obligated to. So But yeah, so it was in middle school, I think, that that I became aware of that one of those rulings. I think it happened around the same time I was in middle school. And we were learning about history and the Second Amendment and stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, so we kind of have this thing where we don't need the police anyway. We can just protect ourselves with guns. And that was definitely, like, something that influenced me on that. And then I had an instance where I was living with my mother, who had split up with my dad, and she had a boyfriend, and the boyfriend tried to kill me, and he didn't get off of choking me until my mom put a what I thought was a shotgun to his head, but it was actually a 30-06 bolt-action rifle. And that kind of, like, really set in stone, yeah, this is important. And I've pretty much been arguing, either in person or on Facebook or now on Twitter, the importance of the Second Amendment or the right to keep and bear arms ever since. So I think you can generalize and say it's like a city versus rural thing, but even in my own state, we have people that are in our state's House of Representatives that are like staunch Democrats that have guns and opposed, like, they banned guns in the Capitol after the whole plot to kidnap Whitmer nonsense, which was a whole stupid fucking thing. Trying to kidnap a standing governor is a dumb fucking idea, but after that and some other things, they were like, we're gonna ban these in the Capitol, and it's just for citizens. And but it was originally going to be for, like, even House members and staff and stuff. And they actually had to make an exception for staff members because there were people that were sitting that were, like, from representatives from Detroit and stuff that were like, no, we need our guns. We're not going to leave them in our cars. And so, yeah, they made exceptions. But
Can you take me back a little bit to when you said you in school y'all were discussing or learning Second Amendment stuff and gun stuff? Like, what is the conversation like?
So I mean, that was a long time ago. I don't remember exactly what it was. I mean, I've been out of school for years now, but I had the advantage of having a fairly cool, for a lack of a better word, history teacher. This dude loved history. This dude taught history, like, his whole life. I don't remember if he was a veteran or what, but he was very cool. And unfortunately, he's probably long gone because he was old when he taught history for my class. But he taught us about things that weren't necessarily in the book and would highlight things that weren't necessarily covered in the curriculum. And some of that was the importance of the Second Amendment. So I think that I don't know how it's taught nowadays because I'm not in school and I don't have children, but I have to imagine it's not emphasized in the same way nowadays as it was when I was in school.
Let's play a little simplifying game. If your 5-year-old niece would come up to you and she's like, "Uncle, what is the Second Amendment I'm hearing?" How would you explain it?
Somebody that young, basically, I would just try to keep it simple and tell them that it's basically it's our natural right to keep and bear arms, you know, guns, to protect ourselves, to protect our family and the people we care about. You could go into more nuance and detail when they get older, but when they're young, you want to keep it simple. You want to just basically go, this is what it is, clear cut, and then when they're older, you can expand on it.
But to protect from the bad guys, right? Because
at that time,
we're speaking of bad and good guys still.
Yes. Yep.
And later we can go into the nuance who the bad guys actually are.
Yes. Yep.
A thing you mentioned is, and since your quite extreme experience with your mom and her boyfriend, then you started having more conversations about it, and I would love to hear some of your observations when it comes to this conversation, because one thing that I recently mentioned in our Twitter with Carl is that I noticed that pro-gun people really speak of statistics, and the leftovers are really feelings, and those two cannot converse.
I think it entirely depends, again. And part of that is, and you probably might not realize this, I am more left-leaning than you might realize. On things that aren't firearms related, I definitely skew more left when it comes to guns. I'm definitely more conservative, absolutist on that. But the conversation, I think it depends on the person. I think it depends on if you're having the conversation in person or online. Online, the likeliness that you're going to convince somebody of your viewpoint, whether it's on guns or anything, it could be as simple as trying to explain to a flat earther that the earth is round. They are going to staunchly believe that you're wrong and you're an idiot, because they have, you know, they're online. They're not online to have their opinions changed for the most part. Sure. So it has to be somebody that wants to hear and legitimately have a honest conversation. And you don't really find a lot of that online. No, go ahead.
No, I'm curious as what some of your left-leaning points are.
So
you don't hear that often. I also, and I've noticed that most gun people do not belong to left or right.
Yeah. So, and I don't even know if I would consider, I kind of go back and forth between what I fall under. Because I don't agree with the Republican or Democrat Party, and sure, the Libertarian Party has its own set of issues, especially when some of them come to age of consent stuff, but we're not going to get into that because that's a whole other can of worms. But I am probably more left-leaning when it comes to, like, LGBT rights, LGBTQ rights, abortion, stuff like that. So, I don't know. I'm a mixed bag. I've always felt like a political outcast. Like, when I was young, I would have an argument on Facebook where I'd be arguing about gun rights, and somebody would call me a conservative, fascist, whatever. And then the next day I'd have an argument about abortion rights, and I'd be called a libtard or stuff like that. And it's like, what am I? Which is it? So
you went full circle in yes, 24 hours.
And I still have that happen today. I don't think it's as common because more people nowadays realize that it's harder to fit people into just one box or the other. At least people with brain cells. There are still plenty of idiots out there on both sides that are like, oh, you don't 100% agree with me, you libtard or whatever. And, you know, that's fine. They exist.
Yeah. Well, that's the vote blue no matter who, and that's what's the red version of that?
I don't know, but there's a version of it.
Right, there's a red version of that too. Yeah, for sure.
Because, and I think that's part of the problem with having discussion online, is a lot of the nuance and stuff gets lost. So
100%. And specifically to American politics, look, so I come from a communist country, right? So I'm anti-government. Yep. In general, I don't even care. Yep. If people are on the left, on the right, if they're on top, on the bottom, I just don't want nothing to do with politics. Like, I think it's all any version of, it's like, I'm a freedom absolutist, if anything, right?
Yeah.
Which definitely pulls up some harsher conversation when it comes to, like, if government, utopically, just hypothetically, if the government would cease to exist for whatever type of reason, that there would be such a chaos and mess, right?
For, oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that's the balance that needs to recreate itself, right? But understanding, like, if that would happen, that, like, there would be violence, there would be aggression, there would be first, like, a peak of everything.
Oh,
before,
yeah.
And that would be, like, probably years, if not decades.
Yeah. One thing that's kind of common in our space on the internet is joking about the Civil War, or the joking about a second Civil War. And it's fine to joke, but some people, I think, take it a little too seriously, and they don't realize that if we had a second Civil War in America, it would destroy everything at an entirely at the core level. Like, the government would be in shambles. The people would be in shambles. Your friends and neighbors would either be dead or trying to kill you. And we're not, like, it would break it would break people on an individual level. We're not ready for that mentally to things to get to that point. Like, we can joke about it, and some people might think they are, but you're not.
No, and I made this comment recently, because don't get me wrong, I cannot wait for the movie Civil War, and I'm living for the memes. Oh, you're American? What kind of American are you? Like, you know, Glock or Smith & Wesson? Like, I love it. I'm here for it. However, again, you obviously, like, we have a short history together, so, like, I come from a criminal background. I've seen such violence. I've had more guns against my head than I care to retell, and I'm telling people, the people who glorify Civil War tend to have not been in any actual violence, because violence, it's a different beast.
Yeah, it's a fantasy that some of them have, and, like, I don't get me wrong, I love joking about it, but I don't want it.
Right.
I don't want it. I'm no stranger to violence. You know, at home, or, you know, even just growing up in Detroit, I mean, there's plenty of violence, and there's also plenty of good people, and the city gets a bad rap, but I don't want a civil war. I'm not happy. I wouldn't be happy about it. I'd be prepared, at least to as well as I could be. I wouldn't be mentally prepared for it, but I'd be as prepared as I could be, but I would not want it to come down to that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. So what kind of American are you? What's your favorite gun?
I carry HKs.
Gotcha. Nice, nice, nice.
So I tap into that, the German side of my ancestry to an extent. as far as some people tap into their German ancestry. So I sometimes joke that my family probably fought on both sides of World War II.
Oh, very possible. Very possible.
Because I have German ancestry. I don't know how far back, but I know that my great grandfather was a bomber pilot in World War II on the American side. So, but I make dumb jokes, dumb edgy jokes, like the one I made earlier today, in regards to the ship. I don't know if you saw about the ship crashing.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh yeah. So let me send this to you real quick. So overnight, a tanker, a cargo ship coming from Singapore crashed into the Keystone Bridge and caused the bridge to collapse. And my immediate thought was, this looks like Battlefield.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's funny. But, and you know, this, I had to post it because I immediately thought of that. And the other thing was that there's already so many conspiracies about this.
Yes.
Like, you know,
I've just seen bridge. Yeah. Like, I've been working this morning, so I just saw bridge, but I decided not to look into it because, again, then I get, like, sucked in.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, is where it was. But I saw stuff going on about it, and then I was like, I saw that image, and I was like, you know, that really much looks like a Battlefield game cover.
Oh my, it does. You did an excellent job with that.
So,
Quickly, so you mentioned left-leaning when it comes to LGBTQ.
Yes. Why,
so my thing is that, so I don't perceive them as oppressed or any of that, but I do feel like if they feel oppressed, whether that's valid or irrelevant, I feel they need to arm themselves. And I feel like there's not enough conversation.
Hello?
Oh, did we jump out for a second?
You did. Yeah, you got like completely frozen. I heard arm themselves, oh. And then that was it.
Oh, so did you hear what I said prior to that?
You said that you don't feel like they're oppressed, but if they feel like they do, that they have a right to arm themselves.
Yes, specifically. And I feel like there's not enough conversation about that within those circles.
So I've seen some of that because I'm in some of those circles. I'm mm-hmm. straight, but, you know, I support their rights. So it's interesting because, yeah, there are certainly people that are in the LGBT community that are just like, guns are bad and nobody should have them. But then you have other people that are like, you're an idiot. You're not going to serve. You're not going to make it, basically. I've literally seen people that are in like the LGBTQ gun space that are like to other regular LGBTQ people, like, you're not going to fucking make it if shit goes down. You need to arm yourself. And what's part of the big thing that I've seen is in the 3D printed gun space, that is where you'll see like the biggest group of like LGBTQ gun people. And I think that's great. I think that more of them should be interested in their, you know, vested means of self-defense, whether they're oppressed or not. And I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, but I know that they need to be able and capable of protecting themselves, whether it's from oppression or just some asshole trying to take a swing at them. They have as much right and should exercise that right to defend themselves as you or I have.
Absolutely.
So to kind of tie into that, because I don't think I saw you comment on this, did you see last week that it was ruled that illegal immigrants have the Second Amendment rights?
Oh, that was such a hard conversation. Yes. So.
Or wait, no. Yeah, you were briefly in that space that Carl did, I think, right?
Yeah. So I did. So it's such a complex thing because, like, evidently the concept right, like having a right, is already where people launch from, correctly or inaccurately, where it's like, right, people believe you are rights, you have certain rights because you are born, and other people believe, yes, that, you know, a external authority gifts you those rights and therefore can take them away.
Yes,
which so I'm on team natural rights. However, I'm extremely aware that our borders worldwide determine how we exercise or cannot exercise those rights. Even though I disagree with that, right? There's a significant difference because we have a collective agreement that this line means that this government decides that those rules, and on this part of the line, we have these rules, socially, culturally, politically, economically.
Yeah.
And as an immigrant myself, and I really want to emphasize on that, right? Like, so, it cost me six figures, and I want six figures to become legal here. That's extremely, yeah, a lot of money, right?
In my opinion, it's absurd.
It's like absurd. Right.
The barrier to entry should not cost that much, for one. And it's been, as far as I know, it's been the same for like decades.
Yeah, no.
To get in legally.
Yeah.
And.
And And then, right, aside from having to go through that process myself, it cost me a lot of money. I'm kind of buying the freedom to exercise rights. And I don't have a problem with countries having a specific type of requirement of entry. And I'm going to use Dubai as an example. If you want to become a Dubai citizen, you need to make at least 10K USD a month. You have to go to the gym and they will assign it. A country gets to make its rules. I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is that illegal immigrants or people who came here by a shady means get to exercise the freedom that is being obstructed from the already existing citizens.
But how are they exercising a right that's already being obstructed?
Well, the fact that concealed carry, some states don't have a concealed carry at all, having to go through some version of licensing, which you can only do if you're a legal immigrant, because you have to have a driver's license, so you have to be acknowledged by the state. Either we're all of us can have guns, or none of us can have guns. But this, like,
see, so here would be my counter argument.
Give it to me.
We shouldn't have to have concealed permits in any state.
No, I agree.
And this is a state that's I'm in a state that you requires that I have a concealed carry permit. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have any of that. And I think that's one of the greatest parts of this ruling, is it sets precedent to literally dismantle all of that.
Fully agree.
And it might take time, but there is the grounds there to literally go, all of that can go away.
Fully agree.
So.
Fully agree. However, it's kind of the chicken and egg, right? Like, this set a precedent, and then people have to spend a lot of money, groups, to fight that, which...
Yeah.
And it's kind of the, you know... marijuana became legal, therefore anyone who had tiny marijuana and had a jail sentence should be
question. I'm glad you touched on the whole marijuana thing, because it's still not even fully legal. It's legal in a lot of states, but it's not legal at the federal level. So if you're a federal employee or you work for a company that contracts with the federal government, like mine does, but I'm not going to say what it is, you still can't do that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing was, it's still on a 4473 because it's still classified as a Schedule I controlled substance. So it's kind of legal, but it's still not really there yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's somewhat decriminalized really cover it, but I feel like that comes as close to the conversation as we can probably.
Yeah.
No,
but it's like, it's
everyone, no CCW.
Yeah. No, yeah, you shouldn't have to have a CCW.
No, fully agree.
I don't know. This might be controversial. So there's always talk of requiring training in order to basically be able to buy guns. I would have absolutely no issue with that, under the one condition that the government would pay for it. Because if you set it up to where people have to take a class in order to be able to buy guns, then you're creating a barrier of entry, because those classes cost anywhere from $120 to $300, depending on what the class is and how, how many hours and stuff. So if you made it to where, like, just go back to where it used to be, like, in the 80s, where you literally had, like, a gun safety class in high school.
And I promise we will jump right back into the conversation and the episode. But in the meantime, I would like you to hit the like, hit the subscribe, hit the share, And mostly get involved on my socials, get involved on my Instagram, get involved in the conversation on Facebook, get on my email list. You know how much I have been, let's say it, ostracized and removed from certain spaces. So if my Facebook one day disappears, you won't know where to find me. So get on my email list on dollaracademy.com. Thank you so much. Meanwhile, snap a little picture of it, do a screenshot, share it on your Instagram, tag me. I will absolutely reshare. And any feedback and everything is possible is very welcome too. Thank you so much. Now let's go back to the episode.
That you could take.
100. 100. Yes. Just a part of education. Not even the problem with the government right now, I feel, is that if we like, I do not trust the government enough to provide, first of all, a quality education for one.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah.
I will point out that even as it stands now, not all classes for guns are created equal. So when I did my CCW class, or CPL as it's called in Michigan for some stupid reason, I got lucky and I had a really great instructor who works at the local gun store. He actually owns the local gun store. And it was him and an EMS guy, and they did a great class. It was very informative. And then I was talking to a friend of mine who is also kind of on and off part of Michigan Gun Guys. And he was like, yeah, so basically the class was just in this guy's living room, and he kind of just sat and tried to sell us USCCA insurance for like 3 hours, and then he told us we were done and we could go, or something like that. I don't remember the exact details, but it wasn't the full, like, it's supposed to be an 8 hour class. It's supposed to be 4 hours of class work and then 4 hours of range time, and it was not. And he did not learn fucking anything about gun laws or like, so they, in my class, they went over like the gun laws in our state. They went over how to clear jams in your handgun, you know, tap, rack, and slide. They went over shooting positions, and then we went to the range and we did actual shooting. And his class was nothing like that. And I'm like, well, I mean, you got your CPL, but you should probably take a different class at some point.
Right. Well, and so when I came to America, I landed in Arizona first. And also you don't need a you don't need a CCW, concealed carry weapon. Am I saying it correct? Is that the correct term?
Yes,
Is
concealed
that,
carry weapon.
I'm trying to like
In
what?
Michigan, it's a CPL because it's a concealed pistol license.
Oh, I
Michigan is,
see.
I think, the only state that has a different acronym for some stupid
Oh,
reason.
that's funny. And I still recommend, like, I took the class 3 times. First of all, because there's a language barrier for me as a non-English speaking, like, I know, as a
Yeah.
non-native speaking, right? Like, I'm constantly
Yeah.
translating. And I recommend everyone to go to, like, a good CCW class, even if their state doesn't require it. Because aside from the practical aspect where you learn, again, like tap, rack, slide, or, you get to try different firearms, which is always fun. The
Yes.
theoretical side, just what are things called, castle doctrine, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Like, I think it's just extremely valuable. And yes, to it being taught in school, if I had any faith in the
Yes.
institution that teaches. But yeah.
Or even just like have this thing where the schools contract out to like a local certified instructor.
Yeah. Absolutely. I could see that. That would
Because
be epic.
it should be taught, like, even if you don't own guns, because of how many guns we have in the country, you should know what to do if you come across a gun, other than, you know, probably don't touch it. But if you need to touch it, to make it safe or whatever, you need to know how to you should know how to properly handle a firearm. Whether you
Absolutely.
own guns or you want to own guns or not, you should know how to, you know.
Absolutely. And with it's in the same breath, and I don't know if the school system in America covers it, but in my country we get a basic, like, what happens if fire happens, not just in school, but like, yes, how does fire work? How do you respond to fire? And with that also like a basic, you know, first aid kind of thing, like what do you do? And with that should be also like, okay, guns, just as a basic. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I feel that the majority are the people who are anti-guns. I like conversing with them because I fall outside of their identity politics, right? I'm an immigrant from a third world country that's very pro-guns, that's pro-capitalism. And most that I've noticed is that most people just have the only reference they have with firearms is bad people having them or movies, right? Yeah. Whereas, and I'm going to make that distinction a little bit, like whereas in rural life, most people have had a firearm to some extent around the house because it's being used. It's actually a tool. Whereas yes, in more busy places, it's only a tool used by bad people.
To an extent, yeah. I think part of it too is a lot of people don't realize, and it's partially a good thing and it's partially a bad thing. It's a trade-off. A lot of people don't realize how many guns are around them every single day.
Oh, absolutely.
Because most people don't have situational awareness, and they don't realize that tons of people, both legally and illegally, are concealed carrying firearms every day. Like, I go everywhere that I can. The only real place I don't really carry is places that are prohibited by law, and work, because that is also technically prohibited by law. But I pretty much carry everywhere else. And people don't realize. Like,
because you can carry.
Yeah. Yeah. My fiance knows. And a couple close friends know, simply because I'd rather them be aware of it in case something goes down. But for the most part, you're gonna see just a fucking fat guy walking down the sidewalk and go, That's just nobody. And I think that part of that ties into that is, and I think more people should embrace the whole gray man aspect. And I'm using gray man, but I don't know if I agree with that term, but basically just dressing like normal. You have some people who carry guns that, you know, will wear one of those grunt style 1776 shirts and, you know, they'll have the don't tread on me hat and all this. And it's like, that you're kind of making yourself a target. Sure. Like, I like to wear plain clothes. I even have some shirts that are like hippie shirts that I'll wear just because it's like nobody's gonna look at this guy and go, he's carrying a gun.
Right.
The most like gun thing I wear is this hat, right? And I only wear this when it's warm out or when I'm going to the range. And so it's like people don't realize how many people carry guns. Like, you can see certain people and go, that guy's probably got a gun. Or he's just a vet, but a lot more people carry guns than I think people realize.
Absolutely.
And so it's kind of a trade off. Like my state, you can open carry at 18, mm-hmm, but you have to be 21 to conceal carry. But I didn't start carrying until I was able to conceal carry. I actually started carrying a couple years ago. But unless you're open carrying, nobody's gonna know. And so it's not consciously on people's mind that they're around guns all the time. And I think the other thing is, too, like, people don't pay attention to cops, really, unless something's going down. And so they don't think about the fact that cops are around them all the time with guns, too. And I don't know. I just think that it's, like, as prevalent as, like, mass shootings and gang violence are in our country, the fact that people are probably constantly around people with guns isn't on the public's consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
well, and I feel that a big misconception about people who carry guns is that they're somehow these afraid people who are in constant paranoia walking around. And I'm like,
yes,
no, I'm not afraid nor paranoid because I have a firearm, for the same reason that I lock my car. Because if I don't lock my car, then I'd be like, fuck, but what if someone grabs the thing in out of my car? That's why I just lock my car and then I don't have to think about it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely an argument I've seen all the time. Oh, you carry a gun. You must be so afraid. Or, you know, if they like to go a little extra out there, they'll be like, oh, you must be so afraid of minorities or da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, no, I grew up in fucking Detroit. The only time I've actually been concerned, and luckily I was carrying my gun, was when I was doing fucking DoorDash up here, and I had a white guy that was like, I thought you were the cops, I almost had to get my gun. And I was like, well, you get yours, I'm getting mine, bud. And yours is probably in the house, and mine is right here on me. So, yeah, no, I think people think that it's a fear thing, and it's like, no, it's about being prepared. I hope that I never have to use my gun. God, I hope, yes, I never have to.
Please, please, can we emphasize on that people who are pro Second Amendment to any extent, wherever on the spectrum, all of us hope and wish for our homeboys and homegirls that we never, ever, ever have to use the firearm.
I would caveat that I wouldn't say all, because there are some idiots out there, but the vast majority of people who are Second Amendment people and carry guns, they don't want to use them.
Right.
They just don't. They joke about it, yeah, like, because I joke about it online, I don't want to ever actually have to use my fucking gun.
Yeah.
But if somebody tries to come at me or somebody I care about, I'm fucking prepared to. Mm-hmm. I've got two 17-round mags ready to go. Mm-hmm. In that instance, but I'd rather not have to use it.
How much do you know about the Netherlands when it comes to, like, self-protection and shit?
I don't know a whole lot. I know that, I think it was the Netherlands that had that mass shooting in 2013, with a guy that pretended to be a cop and went to, like, a party or something? Or am I thinking of a different country?
Oh, I don't even know. Might be. There's plenty of mass shootings. They're all gang-related. Netherlands, so, again, I have a house in the Netherlands. Live there. I have dual citizenship between the Netherlands and Czech Republic. And I'm trying to emphasize. So I come from East Europe, where my mom was heavy on the self-defense and protection. When I was 6, I got my first pepper spray. When I was 8, I got my first knuckle brass. And she was very like, no one's coming to save you. You need to learn how these things work. Firearms weren't really a thing except for, like, in a farm kind of life. Like, we don't have a gun culture back then, at least. So, and then in the Netherlands, anything that could be used for self-protection is illegal. Pepper spray, any sharp keychains, like, anything. And not only that, I love, like, shocking Americans with this. Not only that, so you have a full retreat requirement in your own house.
Mm-hmm.
If you harm the burglar, the whoever comes, they can sue you, and it has happened. So, and on top of that, to make the rules out, to make like the fun out of the fun. So if you have a dog in the Netherlands, you have to have a warning sign outside on your front and your rear entrance in the house saying the dog is here. Because if someone were to break into your house and you didn't have the dog sign and the dog would bite the burglar or the thief, then you get trouble. So a lot of the Western Europe, East Europe is all like, yeah, makes sense. Freedom, guns, makes sense. West Europe is very sheltered for that, right? Because they have no castle doctrine, full retreat, no pepper spray even is allowed, right? So all of the conversation is usually between the Netherlands, Germany, UK, Australia, and America.
My response to that, please say psych. Please say psych. I don't know if you've seen the gif of Eric Andre where he's like, please say psych.
No.
That's how I'm feeling right now. Hang on, I'll just send it to you.
Can you imagine, like, seriously, it has happened where people got into legal shit because their dog attacked the burglar.
So my question is, what if the burglar doesn't survive? How's a dead person gonna sue you?
See, that's the most That's the most American response ever. But people said that with the, did you see that viral post this week of the illegal Venezuela, I think he was, where he was like, you squad, you can just take over their house, and the real Americans were like, but how are people gonna know he's dead if he's illegal?
Yeah. Yeah. How are they gonna see that's tying back into like the whole illegal immigrants have gun rights. That was a concern. That was the argument some people made, like, oh, you know, illegals are going to storm, the cartel is going to storm into the country, and they'll be able to have their guns, so they'll shoot us or whatever. And it's like, well, first off, the cartel already has a shitload of guns.
Right.
Second off, we have a shitload of guns. So I don't, like, that was part of the reason we have guns, is to protect ourselves from tyrannical government and bad guys in general. So like, what is the real concern? Like, this literally, in my opinion, all this really allows is two things. It allows precedent for us to dismantle all this bullshit gun laws, especially given, as we know, criminals don't follow the laws anyway. And the other thing is, it lets people who do come here illegally, that are good people, because there are good people that come here illegally, it allows them to have the same right to keep and bear arms as the rest of us. That doesn't mean that they get citizenship. It just means that if somebody who's here illegally shoots somebody in self-defense, they can't get charged with murder, but they can still get charged with coming here illegally and then get sent back. Because that was literally all the ruling was. It wasn't that they get, you know, full citizenship. It's just they under Bruin, they have the same right to bear arms as the rest of us because of the way Bruin was ruled. And I agree with that, because the founders, that was why they wrote the Second Amendment, because they believed that it was a natural right that everybody in the world had, given by God. Doesn't matter which God, but it was a natural God-given right. And that, hey, we're going to write this to where so that the government can't infringe on that right. It doesn't grant anybody the right. It just protects against government infringement. And I can only imagine how worse we would be in regards to having that right if it wasn't for the Second Amendment existing.
Oh, 100%. Then you get the Netherlands. Wait,
yeah,
we have to fully retreat. Hey, you get sued by the burglar because.
So there was, and see, some states don't have castle doctrine. Yes. So that's actually something that's happened here before.
Connecticut
doesn't happen very often.
South Dakota, Hawaii, they don't have castle doctrine. Am I missing one?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen very often. But I remember. I can't remember if it was in middle school or high school. I remember that there was a big stink about somebody that, you know, about a home invader that was trying to sue somebody that they broke into their house and they got shot. So, in states that don't have castle doctrine, you know, you just keep going until there's, you know, this is not legal advice. I'm not a lawyer.
Oh, boy.
But I mean, Our country has weird gun laws. My state, for example. So, let's say
Let me Google where Michigan is, by the way. The map. One second.
It's map. It looks like this.
Oh yeah, I see.
This is okay, Michigan. So my state. Let's say I have a gun, and I'm open carrying. So it's clearly visible. With the way my state's laws work, if I'm open carrying and I get onto a motorcycle, I am now concealed carrying.
You know, like, sometimes I just don't know how to respond.
Yeah, it's dumb. Like, I understand, like, if I was open carrying and I got into a car, how that would be considered concealed carrying. But a motorcycle?
I mean, I, like I said, I don't even know how to respond to these things.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, someone came up with it, then it had to go through, like, a whole process of people being like, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, that sounds real. And then people were like, done.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, it's so trippy.
It's dumb. Yeah. But, I mean, we have lots of dumb gun laws in the country. Like the whole National Firearms Act. That's a big dumb one.
Whole National Firearms Act. I don't know about that.
That is, that's basically what makes it to where you have to have a $200 tax stamp for suppressors, short barrel rifles, short barrel shotguns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. And literally the ATF admitted that, that they implement, they made it $200 because at the time it basically prevented poor people from having like machine guns or short barrel rifles or shit like that.
Now, before we end the episode, I am confident that you wouldn't just leave without hitting like, without hitting subscribe, without hitting that share button, right? You wouldn't do that to me. I'm up in here connecting with people, wanting you to be a part of the conversation, and you would almost leave? Come on. Don't be like that.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, we're gonna do a closing thought experiment. You,
okay,
right now, no presh, but also presh. You become the commercial, or you become the spokesperson to at least plant a seed of confidence or something to think about to people who are afraid of guns right now. What do you tell them?
Okay. So I would tell them, hi, I am a survivor of violence. Mm-hmm. When I was in middle school, my mother's boyfriend tried to kill me. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for the fact that my mother put a 30-06 rifle to his head, I wouldn't be here right now. Mm. The thing about guns is it's complicated. Mm-hmm. And I understand that a lot of your stance toward it is based on fear. But what I will tell you is when you need a gun, you need it now. So you should at least know how to handle one, and you might find that they're not as scary as you think they are. Mm. They should be respected, but they aren't something to be feared. It's people. And I don't mean people of certain groups. I mean people in general that you should be cautious and prepared to defend yourself against.
I love that.
And that's it.
We can close the internet now. That was good.
I don't know about that. There's still a lot of shit posting to do.
We have more shit posting to do. Oh, so good. Thank you for coming on.
Of course.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I'm glad I was able to come on, even if it was a week late.
Oh my God. It was so bad. There's this thing, like I said, we got two houses, and the house that is the furthest from any town, that has like the best Starlink. And then me, like this house that I'm at right now, is a little bit closer to a town. And Starlink just pops out and in however it feels.
Huh.
And we have this joke. That's and weird. The electricity does the same, by the way. So we have this joke that sometimes when a big, big snowstorm comes, it's like, okay, sure, the electricity drops out, that's fine. But then we have this ongoing joke now that, oh, the electricity went out. Why? Because it was a beautiful day. There's no reason.
I don't have, I don't know, I have weird issues sometimes with Wi-Fi. Like it'll be fine, and then just like randomly late at night is when I have issue. Like I'll be sitting down to try and watch Netflix or something, and then Spectrum's like, this seems like a perfectly good time to update the router, or, you know, we have an outage now, and it's like, I'm just trying to watch fucking Family Guy.
Just trying to watch Family Guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll see you on the Twitter world. Don't hang up officially. I'm just going to stop the recording. But thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Like, that was such an honest and real way to speak to people who are worried about guns. Yes, yes. Love it. Here for it. If you'll have any links or if you want me to link to profiles and stuff, I'll put everything in the episode.
Okay, yeah.
But thank you for being on.
Of course. Happy to be here.